Thank you for listening to this message from Mount Olive Church. We hope it speaks to your heart today.
Okay, welcome Mount Olive Church family to our online service. It is an honor to be here today to teach from God's Word. I'm so excited. It's Father's Day, and I have two very special fathers with me today, our son Micah and our son Bo. I just told them, funny is, oh God, y'all grew up to be somebody's daddy. That's crazy. God has brought you a long way since you were little boys and being corrected so many times. But I'm honored to have you with me. It's exciting. It's very exciting. I want to give honor to my husband, the father of my children, and the father of this house. So, Pastor Stevie, we love you. Happy Father's Day. And to all of you fathers out there. So I'm really excited about today's word. I don't take it lightly. I'll make that clear. James says something that's scary. He says that for we who teach will be judged more strictly. So, Brother Mike, I don't take it mildly. I don't take it lightly that I would sit before you and teach God's word. So I'm going to pray right now, if you don't mind. Let's pray. So, Lord, we thank you, God, for this day. We thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to teach from your scripture, from your word. God, you're so awesome and you're so holy, and you are our Father. And we say thank you, Father. Thank you, Abba. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the life-changing scriptures, Lord, when we open them. I ask you, dear Lord, that I would be decreased, God, that you would be increased today, and that this word would change our lives forever, that we wouldn't forget it when we leave, that we'd hear it, and it would just resound in our ears forever, and we'd be changed by it. And everything that you do, God, we give you glory and honor. In Jesus' name, amen. So I'm going to go ahead and give my disclaimer. It's kind of funny. When Minister Wyvis was speaking a couple of weeks ago, as soon as he started talking, I got up from my seat and I ran over to the pastor and I said, oh, Lord, he's actually preaching my message. And it was so funny. I actually sent him my notes like last week, I think. And what he said was, what you don't deal with will one day deal with you. I was even going to say that. It's so crazy. I was going to talk about Saul and how the Amalekites, how he didn't kill the Amalekites. And so at first, Pastor said, you're going to have to teach something else. And I said, oh, no, I can't. I know this is on my heart. So I told Brother Wyvis, I said, I guess my lesson will be the sequel to yours. So I will say that what you don't deal with will deal with you. And he did a great job in teaching us about King Saul. And so what happened was, in the book of Samuel, we saw that God had sent Samuel to tell Saul to kill the Amalekites. And God was sick and tired of these Amalekites messing with his people. As a matter of fact, there's some beautiful scripture. I love the way the King James says it. It says, thus saith the Lord of hosts, I remember that which Amalek did to Israel, how he laid wait for him in the way when he came up from Egypt. He was sick and tired of them. They were the enemy of the Israelites. And as soon as they crossed over to the promised land, there those Amalekites were, and they were fighting against them. And God was like, I'm sick of it. Now, don't get it twisted. I did read to you where it said, I remember. That doesn't mean God forgot. Don't you ever think he forgets us. He does not forget what's going on with us. I think probably it just crossed his mind. He thought about it. And he said, you know what? I'm sick of them messing with my people. And he sent Samuel to tell Saul, kill them. Kill every one of them. Every boy, every girl, every man, every woman, even the suckling child, even the babies. He didn't want them to grow up. And so he told them to kill them. So I love this, and I love that version when it says, I remember what they did to the Israelites. And the reason I love this is because that's what God does sometimes for us. He thinks about us. We're on his mind. And when I kept reading that, I remember, I know that in our own lives, there are times that we go through things and we think, God, are you even there? Do you hear me? Do you see what I'm going through? Do you understand? And God's saying, I know. I think about you. Micah, you cross my mind. Bo, I think about you. If you're out there and you're going through something right now, don't you dare think that God has forgotten about you, because he does not. Listen to what he told Jeremiah in 29:11. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you. That's what God said to Jeremiah. He said, I think about you, son. I know the thoughts I think toward you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. So if you're there right now, if he thinks about If he thought about Jeremiah, he thinks about us too. It's the same. He has no respecter of person. So just remember that. So Brother Wyvis, I told him about that, and he did a great job about telling us about King Saul. And what happened was he went, and he did not kill all the Amalekites. He was disobedient. And remember, this is where we get, whenever Samuel found out about that, he went to King Saul, Brother Mike, and he said, "What in the world? Why didn't you do what God told you to do? He told you to kill all of them, and you have saved the king. Of all people, he saved King Agag." I want y'all to remember that. A-G-A-G. A-G-A-G. Agag. King Agag. Remember, don't forget that. He saved the king. He saved all of the, he saved some of the animals. He said the good animals. He saved some of the good stuff. And guess what he told Samuel? He said, "Oh, I just saved those animals so I could sacrifice them to God." As if he was the king of Israel. As if he did not have animals to sacrifice to God. That was just an excuse. And Samuel said to him what we hear over and over and applies to our lives today. To obey is better than a sacrifice. Okay? When God tells us to do something, that's what we have to do. We need to sacrifice and not make any excuses. Now, fathers, I do want to ask you this question. So we know about King Saul. Eventually, we'll read that King Saul was killed by an Amalekite. So had he dealt with what God told him to, you know, eventually he would have died, but he wouldn't have died at the hand of an Amalekite. But he didn't do it. He was disobedient. He let them live. So don't forget about that. We'll visit that again in a minute. But I want to ask you a question if you're listening to me today. I'll ask my boys this question. Do you think that your actions or your choices affect others? You know, have you ever heard, and you've probably said it before, "I'm a grown man." I know Micah has because he thinks he's grown. "I'm a grown man. I'm just going to do me." Sometimes I hear people say that. "I do me, you do you. I got this." You know, that's what we say sometimes. We hear people. But do you think that your actions can affect, maybe you're dead and gone on, but do you think it can affect your children, your grandchildren? Yes, sir. Yes, sir. You think so, Bo? It definitely can. So I want to teach you a little bit more about this. I learned about this, and it really kind of got me real excited when I learned this. I was very blessed to teach a group of ladies, Alpha Pi Omega ladies, and I did a Bible study with them on the book of Esther. And I'll tell you, if any of you are listening, that has just been one of the honors of my life to sit and Zoom with you ladies and teach you from this book. But as I began to teach that, I found out something that shocked me, and I was so excited. So to give you a little bit of that story, we know about Esther and her cousin Mordecai. If you don't know, please read the book of Esther. I think it's like 9 chapters. It's not even that long, but it's so incredible. The book of Esther does not ever say God. It doesn't say God's name. But I love how Beth Moore says it, and I taught these girls that, is that sometimes we don't see God. Sometimes we don't hear him. Sometimes we don't feel him. Now, we're Pentecostal, and we want to feel him. But sometimes we're in seasons of our life, and we don't even feel God. And we're thinking, "Lord, where are you? Where are you? But he's there the whole time, working it out for our good. My husband says he'll Romans 8:28 it. All things work together for good, those. And so I love that scripture, and I love to know that God, whether we see him or not, he is there. And in this book of Esther, we saw that. God worked it out. So Haman was very evil, and he hated Mordecai because Mordecai would not bow to him. The Bible says he hated him. He plotted to have not only Mordecai killed, but all the Jews in the province. I mean, he hated them. That kind of hatred didn't make sense to me until I read this scripture. And I want you, if you have your Bibles, you can turn or you can later read it. Esther 3:1 says, "Sometime later, King Xerxes promoted Haman, son of the of Hammedatha, the Agagite." I want to spell that for you. Haman was an Agagite. I want to spell it. A-G-A-G-I-T-E. Now, do you remember the king that Saul let live? His name was King Agag. So get this. This is so incredible to me. Agag, the Amalekite, is who? Haman is a descendant of King Agag. Haman is no other than an Amalekite. So King Saul let the Amalekites live. Years later, Saul's not even here to see this. It's so incredible to me. When I found that out, I told my husband, I was so excited because he said, "I never knew that." I was like, "What? You know, I found out something you didn't know. But I was so excited about it, Brother Mike, because it just proves so much that our actions can hurt us down the road. And King Saul was gone at this time. But guess what? His ancestors were still here. Generations to come. And here this Haman is, and he's an Amalekite. That's why he hated Mordecai. He hated Mordecai because he wouldn't bow to him. But listen, this just tore me up. This type of hatred had been passed on generations to generations. I can just hear his family right now saying, "All right, son. All right, Haman. We hate the Jews." He was probably a little boy. He didn't know why we hate the Jews. He was probably told, "Okay, they're our enemy, and we hate them. So if you ever come in contact with one of them, just know we hate them. We hate them." You do that type of generational curse, God forbid, fathers and mothers, families, that we sit around and our children hear us talking about groups of people or anybody with hatred, that we will pass on generations of hate that way. And it makes so much sense because the Bible made it very clear that Haman, he hated Mordecai because he wouldn't bow to him, because Mordecai, Haman was like second in command to king and everybody bowed to him. But it was more than that. When I found out he was an Amalekite, I said, "Wow, look what Saul did." Because he didn't deal with it years later. So that brings me to my title I want to say to you today. My title of this lesson is, "Deal With It, Daddy." Deal with it, Daddy. I mean, if we don't deal with things, they'll deal with us. And you might think that I'm just doing me, but you cannot do just you. And I'll prove that to you in just a few minutes. So Haman, you know, if because it's almost a joke. If Haman had, he wanted all the Jews killed, Brother Mike. That was his order. And the king said he could do it. They were going to kill all the Jews. Who was a Jew that hung on the cross? Jesus, our Savior. Now, it's funny, if I were to say to you, "What if that had happened? Where would we be?" But that's a joke, because our God would never have let that happen. And so in the book of Esther, although it never said Esther prayed to God, it never said Esther fasted and Mordecai, we knew they were Jews and we knew they were God-fearing people, and we saw God work it out. So just if you don't know the story, God worked it out. And Haman was actually the one killed on the very gallows he prepared for Mordecai. God being God, he dealt with it. So a question I will ask you is, you know, are there things in your life that you think that you didn't deal with, like King Saul, that could come back and hurt you generations or hurt your children? You know, it's one thing to mess with me, but my children and my grandchildren, you know, if and at my own hand, if I do things. So again, I'll say to you, Daddy, deal with it. If there are things in your life, if you're listening to me today and my boys and who's listening, men and women alike, if there are things in your life that God has said is not good for you, kill it, cut it off, do away with it, then deal with it. Because if you don't deal with it, it's going to deal with you. And maybe you're dead and gone on, but God forbid it, Bella has to deal with it. Jonah has to deal with it. Daria, you know, got Sky and Levi and Caden. God forbid they have to deal with it because you didn't deal with it, Bo. And that's sad. So King Saul was not the only person that didn't deal with something. And I'll tell you what, this story has just wrecked me for 2 or 3 weeks that I've been studying it. And it's the story of Eli, the high priest. And I think we all know. So I'm going to kind of have to backtrack in the Bible, because we're talking about Samuel. I just told you about King Saul. Samuel anointed him, and Samuel was a judge and a prophet. But we're going to have to go back to before Samuel was actually born, okay? This is such a great thing. If you remember this story in the temple, let me see. It's in 1 Samuel, before Samuel was even born, but in this book, his mother Hannah prayed for him. And she prayed for him to have a son. She was praying, she was barren, and she just prayed, and she was just so torn up about it. There's a lot about that I won't go into, but the important thing is she was in temple praying, and so Eli was the high priest, and he saw her over there praying, and her mouth was moving, but she wasn't saying anything. He went to her, and he says, "Woman, are you drunk? Are you've been with strong wine in here in the temple drinking?" And she said, no, sir, I have not." She said, "My heart is heavy. I'm pleading out to God. I want a child." So he blessed her, and she went away, and she conceived a son. But there's something about Eli that I want you to know that's so important. God answered her prayer and gave her a son. And when he was weaned around 4 years old, if you do your study, some said three, some said four, she gave him back to the Lord. So what she did, she took him to the temple and she left him there. And now 3 or 4 year old boy, now I tell you, that would be tough for me if I left my boys at a temple. But she told God, if you give me a son, I give him back. And so she did that. She took him to the temple. And that sounds good. Oh, he's a little apprentice. He's going to be learning the ways of the Lord under the, you know, at the temple. The ark of God is there at that temple. The high priest is there. It sounds like a perfect place if you're going to leave your child, right? Well, no, it wasn't. And let me tell you why. This is what we're going to deal with. 1 Samuel and 2 says this. Now the sons of Eli were scoundrels who had no respect for the Lord. Y'all, some translations, if you're listening to me, listen clearly. This broke my heart. Some translations say they were sons of Belial. Belial is a synonym for Satan. And they did not know the Lord. That's going to be important in a minute. They did not know the Lord. But now they were priests. They were working in the temple with their daddy. So just a preacher's kids. Mm-hmm. Yep. And so we know that sometimes that can be tough, and we hear older PKs are the worst ones and things like that. They have a lot of pressure on them. But this goes so much deeper than that. I want you to listen. For their duties, they were priests. I'm going to read a little bit to you. I'm going to narrate some. Whenever anyone offered a sacrifice, Eli's sons would send over a servant with a 3-pronged fork while the meat of the sacrifice animal was still boiling. The servant would stick the fork into the pot and demand that whatever it brought up be given to Eli's sons. So basically, I'm going to narrate here. God had told, I think it's in Leviticus, we can read where God said how he wanted the sacrifice, Brother Mike. He wanted the fat to be offered to him. I read one of my studies said that if you ever smell somebody grilling, it smells so good, it's the fat you're smelling. It's that flavor. It's that smell, that aroma. And God said, I want that. That's what I want. Then he gave to the priest. Then he would give, take a share with their families and different ones. But these two evil boys, they said, no, I'm not waiting. I don't care that that's God's. I want it. They'd send their servant over and they'd say, and they didn't want it to be boiled. They wanted to roast it. And so they would take that meat. And if the people would say, I'll give it to you, but can you wait till I've given my sacrifice? The servants would say, no, give it now or I'm going to take it. Now, that was some strong, those boys were horrible. Not only that, they were sleeping with the women in the temple that came to work in the church, Brother Mike. Straight up sleeping with them, and some of my studies said right there in the temple, they were just doing some vile acts. So these boys were very ungodly, and they were Samuel's sons, and their name, Hophni and Phinehas were their names. So, but Samuel... Now, that's them. I want to tell you about them in just a minute. I'm going to tell you. It says here, 17 says, so the sin of these young men was very serious in the Lord's sight, for they treated the Lord's offerings with contempt. They didn't care about God's offering. You know, they didn't care about it. And 18 says, but Samuel, though he was only a boy, remember Hannah brought Samuel, he's being raised in the same house with these boys. Now, I thought about that. Peer pressure is a serious thing these days. But I'm going to tell you, I want you to watch how Hannah is and how Eli is, and you'll know at the end why this peer pressure did not bother these boys, didn't bother Samuel. So it says that Samuel, though he was only a boy, served the Lord. He wore a linen garment like that of a priest, a little ephod is what it's called. Each year his mother made a small coat for him and brought it to him when she came with her husband for the sacrifice. So every year she came to see her boy and she brought that. And we'll talk about that later. That's going to be very important. So Eli was old, and I'm just going to narrate here and you can go back and read it for yourself. But I want to tell you what happened. So Eli goes to his boys and he says this to them. I have been hearing reports from all the people about the wicked things you're doing. Why do you keep doing sinning? You must stop, my sons. The report I hear among the Lord's people is not good. But Eli's sons wouldn't listen to their father, for the Lord was already planning to put them to death. Now, he told them, I heard about you taking a sacrifice. I've heard about you sleeping with these women. Boys, just stop it. But that's all he said. Now, I'm not going to put y'all on the spot too bad, but did your daddy just say stop? And you didn't stop. Was that the end of it? No, ma'am. So I'm just saying, Sam, it's so pitiful to me that Eli's voice didn't weigh any more than it did with these men. Eli's voice didn't care. Not only was he their physical, their earthly father, he was their spiritual father. He was the high priest. And they were priests. And if they didn't want to hear him as a daddy, they should have heard what he was saying as a man of God to say, boys, you know, this is wrong. I've been hearing about this stuff, and you need to stop it. It did no good. His words carried no weight. He wasn't much of a father, and that's a sad thing. They should have honored him either way, but they did not. And the Bible says Eli's sons wouldn't listen to their father. And this is a concern I had about it, too. Eli said, in Scripture says that Eli told them, I heard about what you've been doing. I heard about it. The people told me about it. Why didn't he see what they were doing? Why didn't Eli pay attention to what those boys? Nobody shouldn't have to come tell him that. He should have been seeing what. He should have been paying them some attention. He saw Hannah when she was there praying, and he rebuked her and pretty much accused her of being a drunk. There she was just praying to the Lord. He saw that. He paid attention to the people who came to him and saying, you know, Eli, this is what's going on. He stopped and listened to them. We'll see later, and this is just so powerful. When little Samuel was coming up, you know the story where Samuel thinks he hears Eli calling him. And he runs to Eli, and he says, yes, master. And he says, I didn't call you. Go lay down. He goes and lay down. He comes back again. He hears somebody calling his name. He runs back to him. Just imagine him as a boy. He runs back to him and he says, Eli, you know, sir, master, you know, you called me. And he said, I didn't call you. Go lay down. The third time he came, Eli understood. He taught Samuel to discern the voice of God. He told him what to say. Go back and say, your servant is listening. Yes, Lord, your servant is listening. He taught him to discern the voice of God and to answer the voice of God. Do you think he's done that for his own boys? I mean, it doesn't seem like he has. Why isn't he aware of the corruption that his boys are going through? He's aware of everybody except them. 26 says this, meanwhile, the boy Samuel grew taller and grew in favor with the Lord and with people. Look at the difference with Samuel, Hophni, and Phinehas. Those two boys of Eli's, they were just there, but Samuel was growing in favor with God and with the people. He had been listening. Now, those are the issues that I found. These boys could have been, bad influences, and they were. They could have pulled him into it, but they were not able to. They were awful. And when I first started reading about this, I'm going to be honest with you, I judged these boys. I was like, these are some sorry boys. Here they are doing all this ungodly stuff in the temple, in the church. And my goodness, look at how they're making their daddy look. And they're horrible examples and they're bad influences. And this boy was left there with them. And she thought he was in good hands. But we're going to talk more about that in a minute. I did, but I learned different. God, the Holy Spirit really check me on judging them about that. So later on, just to kind of tell you about the story, we know that the boys were doing all this ungodly stuff. Eli goes to them and says, you know, boys, you need to stop it. But that's it. As the priest, high priest, he should have relieved them of their duties. He should have told them, you are no longer welcome to do, you know, we're not going to do. He did not do that. So 27 says this, one day a man of God came to Eli and gave him this message from the Lord. And basically, I'll just kind of narrate this for you. He told them what God is going to do about how his children were behaving. He said, I assigned the sacrificial offerings to you, priests. So why do you scorn my sacrifices and offerings? Why do you give your sons more honor than you do me? For you, and they have become fat from the best offerings of my people of Israel. He said to Eli, the prophet said, God is saying to you, why do you put these boys before me? Basically, y'all, as fathers here today, as parents, we need to know who gave us our children. God has given our children to us, and he expects us not to put them before him. And what he was doing by letting this behavior go, by not dealing with this behavior, as he was basically saying, oh, my boys, their feelings, it might hurt their feelings, or I don't want to upset them. I've heard that said sometimes, you know, I don't want to upset my children. I heard when I started having children, an elder told my husband and myself, I don't know if he remembers it, but they said, you make your children cry now while they're little, or they're going to make you cry later. That's good, ain't it? Sometimes you make them cry by saying no. No, baby, you can't wear that. You're a lady. You know, you're my princess, and you can't wear that. Son, no, you can't go there. I know your friends are going, but, buddy, you can't do that. You know, I know everybody's doing it, but you can't do it. Sometimes, you know, they get upset with us, and they think that we don't know anything. Later on, find out how smart are we now, Bo. Man, we're brilliant, aren't we? And sometimes you think we don't know anything, but, you know, you do, and I say this to everybody. I'm going to take this sidebar here. I'm going to jump on this soapbox, and I don't apologize for it. Take advantage, parents, of everything that our church has to offer your children, children's ministry, youth ministry. Listen, I needed help raising these boys and these girls. I needed help. And don't you think I didn't play the God card. When Micah went off to college, and I told him I might tell this, when Micah went off to college, he would come home every weekend for a while. And we were so glad to see him, you know. And he and I have always had a good relationship, and we would just talk about what's going on. And one day in the kitchen, I'll ever forget it, we were hopped up talking about something, so excited. And then Micah, all of a sudden, his mouth said almost a cuss word. Like the first syllable came, he caught who he was talking to. Boy, son, I went crazy on him. I said, you've been at that college cussing? And if you've been cussing, ain't no telling what you've been doing, you know. And I said, no wonder you haven't been cussing. You remember that? Yes, ma'am. And so sometimes, you know, Brother Mike, I had to discipline in my, now, Steve was disciplined a different way with Micah before. But, you know, I had to deal with it. I didn't say, oh, baby, it's okay. You know you're around all your friends in college and you're growing up. No, I did not. I told him, that is not the way you speak. And that is not what God has called you to be. And you are not going to behave that way. And whatever you're doing, you better get it in check. And don't you be laughing, I'll tell on you too. So sometimes, you know, we're going to have to deal with some things. And that's why I say, deal with it, Daddy. That's my subject. Deal with it, Daddy. And so here's what he said. Whenever the prophet came and told him, here was the punishment. Because Eli did not deal with his sons, listen to this punishment. Man, it's awful. I will put an end to your family so it will no longer serve as my priest. Okay, from this day forward, no longer will y'all be priests. I cannot trust you to be a priest. Man, that broke my heart. He had a lot. They were from the line of Aaron, and they were priests that came from Aaron. So they should have been able to, he should have been carrying on the name of being priest and high priest. But God said, no, because of how you didn't deal with it, Daddy, basically, in my words. You didn't deal with it, Daddy. And so now, not only are y'all going to suffer, but your children, your children's children, your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren, they won't carry on that heritage, or they won't be able to do that. He says, all the members of your family will die before their time. You know what? We've heard that said. You cut your life short. Have we heard it? Being disobedient to our parents. All right, you're going to shorten your numbers. Have we heard that? Shorten your years here. He said, none will reach old age. You will watch them with envy. I'll pour out prosperity on other people, so he's telling of Israel. But no members of your family will ever live out their days. I will cause your two sons. Now, there was some more of this prophecy, but I want to point this out to you. I will cause your two sons, Hophni and Phinehas, to die on the same day. Man, now listen, I have nothing, no words for that, because I've not had to face that. We've ministered with people who have lost children, and it's sad, but God forbid that happen. And here he's telling Eli, not only is God going to take your sons, but on the very same day, I'm going to take them. So this is a serious judgment of God, and all because that daddy did not deal with it. He didn't deal with it. Now, remember earlier I asked you a question about things in our lives that can affect us generations to come? I just kind of want to bring that back to your attention if you're listening to me today. Are there things that God told us to deal with, to kill out in our lives? Have we done it? If we haven't done it, We need to deal with it. Think about it. Do a heart check. Whenever this sermon's over and you're having your prayer time, I pray that you do. You think about Saul, where he didn't deal with the Amalekites. You think about Eli and his sons, and I want to talk to you about that. I'm going to close here in just a few minutes, but I want to close this way. When I began studying about this story, I told you earlier, I was rough on these boys. I was like, man, they are sorry boys doing all that mess in the temple. They know better, acting that way. And then Hannah brought her baby boy there, and look at them having to watch that corruption. The scripture says that Samuel continued to grow in stature. Remember I said that earlier, in favor with the Lord. And I said, what's wrong with those boys? They should be ashamed of themselves. But then it occurred to me, what was the difference between Samuel, he was 4 years old, being raised there, and he had to see what was going on. And as we've already decided that Samuel was, you know, chosen, and I'm sure that he had discernment because Eli had taught him how to discern. But here's the difference, and I couldn't wait to get this part. Scripture teaches, and I read this earlier, that each year Hannah would take little Samuel to the temple. She took him to live. But it says that each year she would come back with her husband to give their yearly sacrifice. And the Lord, and she would bring Samuel a new robe. And it was called an ephod. An ephod was what the priests wore. And it was a certain kind of garment that priests wore. Well, she would make him one every year and bring to him because he was growing. Of course, it wasn't the same as Eli's, but it was a lot like it, like a little priest in training, like it was. And I can just hear her right now as I begin to pray about this, and God spoke to me about that. I was talking to Kelly about my lesson, and I said, you know, those boys, and God just put it on my heart so strong. Well, wonder what would have happened if Eli had spoken to them, like Hannah probably spoke to little Samuel. And I can see her right now just making that garment. She was sewing that garment, and she was probably praying over that thing. And she was probably saying, God, I gave him back to you, Lord. And I'm asking you, as I put every stitch in this little ephod, that you would just bless him, God, anoint him to do what you've called him to do, Lord. Lord, I just thank you for that boy that you gave me. And I know, God, he is going to walk for you. And he's going to walk in your sight and in your stature. And he is just going to be a great man of God. And I can just see her now as she would take that little garment and she would give her sacrifice to Brother Mike. And then she'd probably take him over there in her arms. And she'd say, hey, baby, Mama sure misses you. But I'm so proud of you. Look at you learning the ways of God. Look at you. And as she put that little ephod around him, that priest garment, she probably said, look at you. You're a little priest. And God has a call on your life, buddy. And I know you're going to be something great one day. And Brother Mike, I don't think she even had a clue of what he would become. He would become a judge of Israel and a prophet. He would be the very mouthpiece of God. He would anoint the first king. Like I said earlier, he anointed Saul. He would anoint King David, who we know ends up being, Jesus is in the lineage of King David, our Savior. And little Samuel, that little boy that she made that little ephod for, I can just see her putting it around him and saying, boy, you're growing up. Mama's going to make you another one next year, and it'll have to be a little bit bigger because you're becoming a big boy. But she poured into him. She probably said, God is going to do something for you, son. My husband had a different situation growing up, and he was blessed to be raised by godly parents, but not his own parents. But he told me how some little saintly women would come up to him at church, and they'd say, Stevie, they knew his story. God has a work for you, buddy. You hang in there, Stevie. It might not look good right now, but God has a plan for you. Our words are powerful. And I believe that as Hannah made that garment, that she spoke those words over Samuel. And I believe he rose to that. I believe that he probably did see. He was a child. He probably saw what they were doing. He probably was curious. But, Bo, I don't believe he didn't partake in it. No. Because Mama prayed over him and because Mama spoke into him. Your words are powerful. When you tell your son God has a plan for him, when you tell your daughter, you are my princess, you are daddy's little princess. I remember Kelly was born, Stevie always called Holly his princess. And boy, she would just it made her so proud, and she thought she was just a real princess, you know. And then old Kelly came, and Holly was about 5 years old. Micah, you were 14, I figured it up, and Bo was 4 years old. And I remember Stevie holding Kelly, and he said to Kelly, he said, "Well, look at Daddy's little princess." And Buddy, Micah's laughing because we know Holly. But when he said that, boy, Holly squared up, and she looked him in the eyes, and she said, "I'm your princess." He said, "Yes, you are, baby. I meant to say Kelly's my princesses." And that's not even a real word. He just made it up. I mean, he fixed it. Micah said, "Fix it." He fixed it. But you know what Holly did? She just smiled, knowing that she was her daddy's princess. And Kelly could be a made-up princesses. But you know what? Kelly was proud to be princesses whenever she learned what that meant. But their daddy taught them their worth. Taught them that God loved them. Taught them that they were ladies, and you carry yourself like a lady, and you show you are worth something. You don't let anybody come tell you anything different. Words are powerful. Daddies, deal with it. Deal with the self-esteem issue that we have with our girls today and our young men. Please deal with it. Speak into them. It was sad that I thought about Eli's boys, and I did. I actually felt sorry for them, Brother Mike, as bad as they were. And God dealt with them harshly, but I actually thought about, wonder what would have been different if he had said this to them as they were growing up. If he had said, "Boys, listen, many are called, but few are chosen. Boys, God called us to this. Boys, you're a priest. Look at you in your ephod. You look nice in it. And I want you to live up to it. God has a plan for you, boys." You know, and I wonder what would have been different if he told them, "I'm proud of you. I'm paying attention to you. Come here. Let's sit down. The day's over. Tell me about your day. Tell me about seeing God's people come in and give that sacrifice to God. Didn't that feel good, son? When you saw the people come in and love our God the way they did, and we were the ones being able to work in here." But he didn't do that. He didn't do that. He did not speak into them, and he didn't deal with it when they were wayward. Now, I want to make it very clear. Do I think that our children are always going to do what we want them to do? Of course not. Scripture tells us that. But it says that train up a child in the way that they should go, and when they're old, it will not depart from them. Micah, what's it?
Training.
It's the training. Me and Michael, we've been talking about that a lot. It is the training. So it didn't say that the child, it didn't say you wouldn't stray and go to college and act some kind of way. It didn't say, Bo, I know you're not laughing, Bo. It didn't say you wouldn't just go wayward some. But it said that training, Brother Mike, wouldn't depart from it. I can promise you, if I ask these boys right now, whenever they put that beer up in their mouth and when they smoke what they shouldn't and they did things they shouldn't, there is not a, I guarantee you, that some they heard their daddy's voice. They heard my voice in the back of their mind, knowing that ain't how I was raised. And now they sit here with me today as men of God, Christian men with families of their own, Brother Mike. And I thank God for that. So I'm not telling you that it's always going to be perfect when you pour into them. But what I am telling you is that this is scripture. Too much is given, much is required. And as men, as husbands, as fathers, you've been given a family, and you're required. And God will judge you one day. When you stand before him, you'll stand on behalf of your family. Now, they'll stand for themselves. Don't get me wrong. If you got it right and they didn't, I'm not telling you. I'm telling you, though, that God's trusted them in your care, and you'll have to meet him with how you've done it. So I just want to say, deal with it, Daddy. Deal with it. Maybe you're sitting here and you're not saved. If you're not saved, I want to say this to you. One of the most horrible things I can almost imagine is waking up, opening my eyes, and I'm in hell, where I walked away from God, or I didn't give my heart to him, Brother Mike. But worse than that would be if I opened my eyes in hell and I saw these two boys in here, in there with me. The Bible says that those boys, Eli's sons, did not know the Lord. And this is what Jesus says himself in Matthew chapter 21. Not everyone who calls out to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Only those who actually do the will of my Father in heaven will enter. On judgment day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, we prophesied in your name and cast out demons in your name and performed many miracles in your name. Those boys could probably say that, couldn't they? God, I was a priest, you know? I was a priest. But I will reply, I never knew you. Get away from me, you who break God's laws. Brother Mike, as I sit here today, my heart breaks. Because it is so urgent that I tell you, daddies, deal with it. Let your children see that you are a man of God. And mothers, I'm not leaving you out. It's Father's Day, and I keep talking to daddy on Mother's Day. I said, Mama, watch. Remember I said, watch, Mama. Be a watchman. Daddies, I'm telling you to deal with it. You don't want to not deal with things and it cause your children to miss heaven, okay? Deal with it. On this Father's Day, I just want to remind you to deal with some things. You've been given a family, if you have a family. If you don't have a family yet, maybe you're a young single man. Maybe you're a single man. But make sure you deal with the things in your life that God may have said deal with. Make sure you deal with it. If God says it's not good for you, if he says kill it, if he says do away with it, then deal with it, okay? And I'm going to pray with you right now. So, Lord, I just thank you, God, for your word. God, I thank you because your word is alive and it's true and it's powerful. I thank you, Lord, because it finds us right where we are. And God, as it's found me, God, I ask, is there anything in my life, God, I need to deal with, God, and help me to do that. Every father here, God, every man, every woman, every boy and girl who may be listening, Lord, online, that you would deal with their hearts right now. If there's anybody who does not know you as their Savior, God, is their Savior. You sent your son Jesus to die for them, Lord. I ask that you would just knock at their heart's door and they would let you in. And Lord, maybe those who are Christians, who are saved, but are not dealing with things in their family, in their home, and their children, help us to understand, dear Lord, that to do this, to deal with them, is to show love, dear God. Help us, lead us and guide us and anoint our lips, Lord. Anoint our walk that they would see you in us, God, and that we would represent you well, God, and we would deal with these things, that we would not be like Eli, God, and like King Saul, that we would not close our eyes and close our ears to the truth, God. We would pay attention, dear God. Reveal things to us, God. Reveal it to us. Open our eyes. Help us to be, Lord, those parents you've called us to be. And these fathers, I call them right now, Lord, to line up according to your word, to be, dear God, the fathers you've called them to be, dear God. And if they're lost, that you would come into their lives, God, and change them. In Jesus' name, we pray. Thank you for joining us for this Father's Day. We hope you have a wonderful day. Hope you have enjoyed the word. I hope you take it and apply it to your life. I know for me, it made me do a heart check.
Thank you for listening to this message. For more access to our worship experiences, visit us at Mount Olive Church, 610 Normal Street in Pembroke, North Carolina, or join us online via Facebook at Mount Olive PH Church.